All right, joining us now is Rob Parker. Oh, man, I can't
wait. Much more important than camel wrestling.
He has one of the great stories in NFL
history. He probably has a lot of great stories. That's just one of many.
No, it's tough to beat. Do you wish your daughter had married a better defensive coordinator? That's one of the great lines.
Rob be the judge.
Yes, we do.
Rob, welcome to the show. We really appreciate you coming on and joining us.
Man, thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee.
You do? Why? Tell us why. I'm from here, so I love Milwaukee. But why do you love Milwaukee?
Well, I mean, no place can you. There's a bowling alley on every corner, and there's cold beer. What else is not to love?
Bowling alley and bar on every corner. You are correct.
Rob, you need to come back. There aren't as many bowling alleys as they used to. So
the bars are still here, though.
The line you can use is a friend of mine, Dobie Maxwell, said it was the only state in which on your driver's license it gave your bowling average. So he got pulled over by the cops for speeding, and the guy goes, "Woo, you got a 200 average. Go ahead. You can go on. No problem." Don't think it's true, but it's a great story. So first of all, tell people what you're doing now, because you're, I know, among the other things you do, you're on Fox Radio at like 6 in the evening, this show you do with Broussard. Do I have that right?
Yes. It's called The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard. I write a column for Deadspin.com. I work as an analyst for Fox Sports 1. And I teach. I'm an adjunct professor at USC. So a busy schedule. Yes. And I have a new venture that's starting April 1st. It's called a new website called MLBBro.com, B-R-O. And basically it's going to highlight black and brown major leaguers on this website. So I'm excited about that. I'm a Hall of Fame voter. I love baseball. It's actually my number one love. You know, I know the NBA and NFL as well as baseball, but baseball is my number one love.
Well, but there, and you would know this, the number of African Americans in baseball is at an all-time low, is it not?
Yeah, but it's coming up. It actually inched up last year,
really?
And there are plenty of players coming. The RBI program and all these other initiatives that baseball's taken has started to pay off. Last year in the College World Series, Michigan's baseball team had 8 black players on their roster. That was a huge number.
Wow.
And they are coming. So be ready. And I'm going to be ready with this website. They are coming back.
Now, the website is African Americans, Hispanics, because in terms of the Hispanic numbers in baseball, it's off the charts. I don't want to say they're taking over baseball, but foreign
players. But they're taking over baseball.
Well, I don't know the percentages, but the number just grows and grows and grows. I mean, Spanish might be the first language in some baseball locker rooms.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Hispanic players, and you got to remember, baseball, about 20 years ago, invested in Latin America when they started, having these academies and whatnot, and in these Latin countries, and you know, you reap what you sow. So they planted seeds there, and a lot of these great players have come from all over Latin America, and now baseball's done the same in the inner cities, in trying to get African Americans back to playing baseball. You know, I mean, a lot of it I blame, and Tony, you know this, you know, the AAU coaches who have monopolized these kids have stopped them from playing other sports. You know, they want you to play basketball 24/7, 365, and that's all the greatest players ever played more than one sport, you know, and that's what's happened. So a lot of these kids have been taken away from baseball, and the shame of it is that the NBA only gives out 30 guaranteed contracts a year. So all these kids pour all this energy and whatnot. They could be playing in minor league baseball. They could be doing other things. And instead, they don't get picked up in the NBA, and their playing career is done.
You, I believe, as the new defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, you have the greatest story, I believe, with Joe Barry, from when you were a writer in Detroit and he was the defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Take it away. This is special. Listen
closely. Wait, do we want to play the clip, or do we just want to have him tell it?
Let's play the clip first. Yeah, I didn't know the clip existed, and the Pebble found it.
On a light note, seriously, do you wish your daughter would have married a better defensive coordinator?
Yeah. All right, so let me give you the backstory, all right? Let me give you the backstory. This was the Lions' 0-16 season. The New Orleans Saints came to town, and they scored on every offensive possession, In fact, the only time they didn't score was at the end of the game where they were in the red zone and they took a knee because they weren't going to try to put it in up by 40-some-odd points or whatever the score was. So I've been on Rod Marinelli's case all year trying to get this guy to answer questions about how terrible his defense was and you know, his team was at that time, I think, 0-14 or 15 when I asked the question. So I was trying to get a funny quote maybe, you know, and some things are so bad, you know, they're 0-14 or whatever it was, 0-15. And I was trying to see if I could get the guy. And I even said on a lighter note, do you wish your daughter? Now, I was hoping as a columnist that maybe he would have said, yeah, you know, I was trying to, I wish he would have married Buddy Ryan, but, you know, he wasn't cute or something like that. That's what I was going for, hoping that he would lighten up and take a moment to make the, you know, make the dire situation a little lighter. But
he wasn't having it.
He wasn't having it. So it didn't work. I tried it. It didn't work.
And then what happened after that? I can just go by the Wikipedia page. They act like it had some influence on you going to Lions games or your future with a paper. And I don't know if any of that is accurate because I thought it was a great line. It was.
And I worked for ESPN at the time. Nothing happened there. I worked for Channel 4 in Detroit. Nothing happened there. The paper made a big stink about it. So what I did was, if you're not going to back your columnist for asking a question at a press conference, I wasn't disrespectful. I wasn't mean-spirited or anything like that. If you can't do any of that, then I just felt like there's no reason for me to be there, and I took a buyout. People wrote that I got fired. It's not true. The Detroit News is a union newspaper. They couldn't fire me. So I took a buyout. They didn't have my back, so I didn't want to work there.
Well, I hope you have a little time. We want to take a break, and then we want to know what you think about Joe Barry because he's the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, and nobody can understand how he got the job. Right? Is that the best way to put it, Tony? Or they understand that he's friends. But I can't ever remember a coordinator with a record that bad
getting
a third job.
Yeah.
So
I was stunned at it. And obviously, he's got friends in high places. That's the only way. You know, the NFL, that's the biggest problem. Nepotism and friendships.
All right. Well, you can tell us how the defense was that you remember. Rob Barker, next.
It's Homer and Tony on 94.5 ESPN.
You're not working hard. Yeah, right. Picture that with a Kodak. Or better yet, go to Times Square, take a picture of me with a Kodak.
Rob Parker, he's everywhere. Tony, can I ask him if he makes as much as Skip Bayless? He's on that show some. Skip Bayless, $8 million.
Give him some of that money, Skip.
You know I'm not making that kind of coin. That's why I got 9 jobs.
All right. But you're a part of that. Skip and Shannon, they have you come on there. Colin Coward has you come on that. You do like a million things. This Rob Parker Enterprises is busy.
Man.
Yes. And my whole life, basically 35 years in the business, I've had at least 35 jobs. Cincinnati, Detroit. Oh. New York, L.A., Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. I've worked everywhere, every radio station, TV station, newspaper. Yes.
All right. You got to tell us something about this defensive coordinator.
Come on,
Joe Barry. We Packer fans, we don't know anything about this guy. All we know is his past couple of jobs. He was terrible.
Detroit first, and then Washington.
Yeah. So
take it away.
How did this happen?
I have no idea. When I heard the news, I was like, the Packers really don't want to win the Super Bowl, I guess. That was the first thing I thought. And I could understand Rod hiring him because it was his son-in-law giving him a big break. Rod had never been a head coach in high school, college, or the NFL before he got the Lions job, and he was a disaster. And Joe Barry was there, and Joe Barry wasn't ready for that job. It was the Lions were down like 21-0 in the first quarter every week. It was really really bad. I'm stunned by the hire.
You're supposed to make us feel better, Rob. That's why we got you on.
Worse.
You had a funny story, but you'd say, "Now listen, this Joe Barry, he's got this. The talent was terrible. Nobody could have won there. It's not going the way we hoped, Rob."
I'm sorry. I know that's the excuse that people always want to use. but I'm not buying it. And I just I thought the Packers made the right decision to make a fire to fire after you give up a touchdown like they did at the end of the first half in that game. That cost them the playoff game and a chance at a Super Bowl. But you can't make this hire. I'm sorry. I don't know what on what merit Joe Barry is the defensive coordinator of the Green Bay Packers. And you guys would know better than me. Who does he know? Who does he
well, Matt LaFleur worked with him.
Own the team?
Matt LaFleur worked with him with the Rams, but was there any style that he had, or do you know there was the only style that they were down 21
nothing? Is there any redeeming quality to what he did or scheme, something? Give us something besides I know Matt LaFleur. That's all I'm looking for.
Wait a minute. The team went 0-16. What do you want me to give you? There's nothing to give you. You know how hard it is to go 0-16 in the National Football League when there's cupcakes all over the place? I mean, seriously, you could fall into a win or two.
So was there no pass rush? They couldn't tackle. They weren't aggressive. Or was it just horrible and the specifics really don't matter?
All I can tell you is there's not enough space on the internet to list all the bad stuff. There's just not enough space.
I just don't know how LaFleur gets away with this. I mean, I can name a handful of coaches. There's no way you get away with it.
Make you feel good. But there's nothing there.
Well, but he was in Detroit, talking with Rob Parker. He was in Detroit before Washington, I believe. So he.
Oh, yeah, no, he was in Detroit years ago. Yeah, yeah.
And did anybody from Washington call you and you went, oh, man, guys, this is not going to go well, because it was literally the same in terms of the stats or how bad they were. All right.
Hey, he's a fortunate guy that he's still employed in the NFL because I don't know how. I really don't.
So you would assume the Packers will be near the bottom defensively in either points given up or yards. If you were a betting man, you'd go what? They got 32 teams, 28 to 32nd?
Well, I mean, they have some good players. I like their defense this past year. I mean, it was a terrible scheme or situation that cost them. Playing one-on-one in that situation at the end of the first half. But I like what they did. For the first time, I thought the defense was good and made plays. And, you know, so I like the defense, but I just was surprised at the leadership, that this is the guy that they went out to get to fix things. I'm surprised by that.
Yeah, all right, I'm done with the Packers. I'm depressed now about the upcoming season, unless something dramatic happens on the personnel side. But
wait a minute, then I have one last question.
All right.
Rob, you just think it's going to be horrible. And just that's just a fact.
I just don't understand it. I mean, maybe he can prove me wrong.
All right.
But if I'm a betting man, I'm gonna say their defense will be worse than it was a year ago.
Yeah, okay. and speaking of betting, my partner over here really has a high opinion of the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes, I've bet money. And they're getting almost 4-1 to win the division, which I believe it's a great value pick given the pitching that they have and their improvement as a team defensively to win the division that way. Yep.
Wow. Okay. The Brewers last year. I don't think that's a bad pick. I like the Brewers.
Oh.
I do. And you know what? In baseball, it is about pitching. Always remember that. The teams, that's how the Tampa Bay Rays got to the World Series. It's always about pitching. So you know what, Homer? I'm going to go with you with the Brewers to win the division.
Wow.
Tony is speechless. Hey,
you just made his millennium with that. No one agrees with him, Rob. You're on a short list.
I'm on an island. Wow. Okay.
Yes. You're out there by yourself right now, but wow. Okay.
So other than Joe Barry, because we asked about that, what's at the top of your list? I don't know if you were filling in on the Fox show with Shannon Sharp, who, of course, we don't really like much here because he was part of the Denver team that beat the Packers. But aside from that, what's at the top of your list? I know it's not Joe Barry.
You mean just in general?
Yeah, just in general.
Basketball,
yeah. Just on the sports
world. We're curious about the Bucks because the thought is they could make the NBA Finals. I don't know how you feel about the Bucks looking at the other NBA teams.
All right, ask me if the Bucks are going to make it to the NBA Finals.
You ask him, Tony, because he's going to say
Bucks
no.
Are the Bucks going to make the NBA Finals?
No way. No how. That ain't happening.
What?
Yeah. You're not beating the Brooklyn Nets. They're ridiculous, and Durant's not even playing. I cannot see how anybody is going to be able, and that's no disrespect. I love Giannis. I love that he signed with Milwaukee and he decided to stay, because I hate all the, you know, people trying to form super teams and all that. I don't like it. I like that he was willing and wants to fight his way through and win his own championship, so I love Giannis. But when James Harden joined that team and what they're doing, I mean, you guys are watching the game. Who are you going to leave open? I mean, who are you? How are you going to stop that offensive juggernaut? I don't think you can stop them. I don't.
All right. And Philly looks pretty good, too. You didn't mention them, but I don't know your thoughts on them, where they fit at top or near the top.
No, they're good. They're going to be in the mix. I mean, you know, Milwaukee, Philly, the Nets. But I believe the Nets are going to the NBA championship only because Durant's played 7 games.
Yep.
In that, since they got the big three, and all they do is win every night and score 135 points. Go look at the box score.
I know.
And hey, Rob, they give up a lot of points, too.
We're all counting on Kyrie Irving just to go goofy and run and have some way to mess things up, but it hadn't happened yet.
No, he's actually been great since he came back from his hiatus, right, from the NBA. He's been great. I mean, and Harden. Now, here's where my rub is. Harden has played great, but I think the Rockets are crazy. I would not retire his number. First of all, they didn't win anything there. And number two, he walked out on you. I mean, why would you retire a number from a guy who walked out on you and told the world that you guys were trash and couldn't win anything?
I think Houston, all the teams trying to let everybody know they're nice. I really do. I think that's what it is. There's no logic to it whatsoever other than that, than PR for the city and everything.
His numbers were historic there, though. They're unbelievable.
But he loved them.
I get the salty part of it, but I'm just saying, if you look at the numbers.
But Tony, it's about when you retire somebody's number. When I think of, and you're right, his numbers are historic. I'll give you that. But when I think of his run in Houston, to me, they were disappointing because of the playoff runs.
Yep,
I agree. So you're celebrating you're celebrating failed playoff runs.
No.
Mike D'Antoni run out of town on the same team because the numbers weren't good enough in the postseason, but then now you're going to erect the statue and retire the number of James Harden? Doesn't even go together.
No, I wouldn't do it either, Rob. I'm just saying that I could see because of the numbers. I also wouldn't. I'd be like, no, you didn't win anything. I totally agree.
Houston needs some nice PR.
Well,
Rob, we appreciate you coming on. You're welcome anytime, and I look forward, because if things go well with Joe Barry, you know who the first person we're calling is.
And what's the website again? You want to that you're getting going?
Yes, it's MLBBRO.com, and it debuts on April 1st. Please give it a look. And I appreciate you guys in Milwaukee. And I'll be glad to come on down the road. You guys stay well.
When you
all
get
right, Rob.
And when we see a new story that you're making $8 million a year, then
we're going to dinner.
Yes.
Yes, the brats are on me. All right.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
Rob Parker, next.